All the weather, City of Weatherford versus Parker County and others, the court has allotted 20 minutes of argument for each side and 5 minutes for rebuttal. The court is ready to hear oral argument from petitioners.
May it please the court, Ms. Catherine Zeller will present argument for petitioners.
Good morning, may it please the court. I believe the issue before this court has been simplified down to the question of the constitutionality, Section 626 of the Texas Property Tax Code, in light of Article 3, Section 64A of the Texas Constitution. As this court is aware, Section 626 is a provision in the Texas Tax Code that provides an election scheme whereby either a taxing unit or an appraisal district may provide for the consolidation of its governmental functions of property tax assessment and collection. Just for purposes of clarification, I think it's clear to the court that the question of a unified appraisal district, a single board of equalization, is not before the court. We're dealing here only with the questions of assessment and collection of taxes. If I might just briefly highlight the facts of this case, and mercifully these facts are, I think, completely undisputed. The petitioner initiated this suit along with the Weatherford Independent School District as a suit for declaratory judgment following an election that was held in January of 1987, which purported to consolidate the assessment and collection functions and, in effect, move them from the Central Tax Authority of Parker County into the Parker County Assessor-Collector's Office. This election was conducted on an appraisal district-wide basis. It was not an election within a single taxing unit. It was an appraisal district-wide election. Balloting on the proposition was done by school districts within the appraisal district. I believe there are basically three noteworthy undisputed facts that I would like to draw the court's attention to. Prior to the January 1987 election in this case, each and every taxing unit within Parker County, with the exception of one taxing unit, that being the City of Springtown, had voluntarily contracted with the existing Central Tax Authority to allow that entity, in addition to performing its appraisal functions, to assess and collect taxes for each of those units. Petitioner, the City of Weatherford, was a taxing unit at that time which had so contracted, had a contract in effect, and it was directly impacted by the effect of this consolidation election, as it was required under the results of this election to move and break its contract with the Central Tax Authority and move its assessment collection function over to the Parker County Assessor-Collector's Office. I believe it's also undisputed that this consolidation measure was not ever put separately to the voters of the City of Weatherford as a taxing unit per se.
And you can't tell from the school district boxes whether who in the city voted for what?
No, sir, just the text, you cannot. And unfortunately, the corporate limits of the City of Weatherford are not identical to the limits or the boundaries of the Weatherford Independent School District. There is a portion of the City of Weatherford which lies outside the Weatherford Independent School District.
Was that outside any school district that had an election?
No, sir. I believe that portion of the City of Weatherford does lie within, I believe, the Pister or Poolville Independent School District.
And the vote was close enough that mathematically we cannot tell.
No, sir. And because the votes were cast and the ballots were done by school districts, I cannot represent to you how the voters of the City of Weatherford proper responded to this consolidation measure, and we cannot identify them among the voters of the school district and segregate them that way.
Why was the City of Weatherford left out?
That's a very good question, Mrs. Cook. I think this was simply a matter of the county clerk deciding how the balloting was to be done in this case, and it was simply a random draw. Unfortunately, Section 626 gave our county clerk absolutely no guidance as to how an appraisal district-wide election was to be conducted.
Was there any authority for ordering separate precinct lines just for this election?
Chief Justice, I don't believe that there is, and at least we could find that in Section 626. It simply provides that for two methods by which this type of election can be held, either appraisal district-wide, in which there is no guidance as to how the balloting is to be done, how the votes are to be cast, and there is no mandate that each and every affected political subdivision have an election on the question. Nor is there any guidance in the rest of Section 626 on that matter. Or you could have an individual taxing unit election. I believe, as I read this statute, I think the scheme is attempting to fulfill what the legislative intent here was. And unfortunately, the statute was turned on its head and used to deconsolidate, in effect, an already consolidated county with assessment and collection function.
The election was held on school district lines, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And do the school district lines between them occupy the entire land mass of Parker County?
I don't want to misrepresent to the court. I would assume, yes, sir, that they do.
Do any of the school district lines extend beyond Parker County?
Yes, sir, I believe there is one school district that does extend into a neighboring county.
And were the voters of that school district permitted to participate also?
I would not want to misrepresent to the court. I believe that each of the school districts, a portion of whom, or any portion of whom would lie in Parker County, did participate in the election. I appreciate the question.
I'm still a little unclear. Were there people outside of Parker County who were in a particular school district who were allowed to vote?
Justice Cook, I believe that, I'm not sure the exact geographical boundaries on each and every one of these school districts. I believe that there is a school district, and if I'm correct, I believe it may be the Spring County Independent School District, which does cross county lines. I would assume, without any way to demarcate citizens within Parker County from a neighboring county, that they would have been allowed to vote in this particular matter, which was affecting the Parker County Appraisal District. I think the thrust of the questions that the court are asking goes to the mandate, that second mandate of Article 3, Section 64, that in such a consolidation election, each and every affected political subdivision have an election on the question, and that this measure, the consolidation measure, be approved by a majority of the voters in each affected political subdivision. Quite frankly, that does pose a rather difficult situation, because within any county, clearly there are taxing units crossing boundaries and enjoying and taxing on the same property.
But it is quite clear, though, isn't it?
Yes, sir. It is unmistakably clear, in addition to the requirement, which the Court of Appeals failed to address in this case, that any such legislation that's providing for consolidation of governmental functions be a special statute. The brief of the amicus curiae in this case has provided this court with an excellent discussion of the legislative history behind Article 3, Section 64A, and it's undeniable, I think, in light of that authority, that this was commanded, had to be a special statute, and I don't see that there's any reading of Section 66 where it could be construed to be in accord and where it could be harmonized with that mandate of Article 3, Section 64. Again, going back to the legislative intent here, I believe that the legislature was attempting through this statute to afford voters the opportunity to force consolidation in the event that either their taxing unit or their appraisal district had omitted to or had declined to voluntarily contract to do so. It's in accord with the entire thrust of the property tax code moving towards single appraisals and single valuations to streamline this process, to make it as efficient as possible, and to eliminate multiple appraisals, multiple assessing, multiple collection offices. Unfortunately, 626, while speaking in permissive language, authorizes that, but it also authorizes precisely the situation before this court, which was the exact opposite of that, in effect to deconsolidate a consolidated county. And unfortunately, during the process of that, the city of Weatherford, as a taxing unit, was wholly deprived of a voice in that particular election and in the results of that election. With respect to the holding of the Court of Appeals, I would like to draw attention to two particular aspects of that and discuss them with the court.
On your last comment, I suppose it's unlikely that voters who resided in a school district would vote differently for consolidation of the district as they would for consolidation including the city.
Just a sec, I would assume that if they were required to vote in two separate elections that we could safely assume that they would vote the same.
But the hearing, we just can't see which one's which.
That'd be correct unless each box were marked as a particular political subdivision. And we could, in this situation, arguably be requesting persons to vote two, three times on the exact same measure for each taxing unit in which they lie.
What was the final vote, percentage-wise, for or against?
Justice, I don't have those figures before me. I do know that a clear majority of the voters of Craigville District-wide did vote to move this from the Central Appraisal, Central Tax Authority, over to the Parker County Assessor Collector's Office.
I guess my question is, even if everybody in the city of Weatherford voted against, would there still be a sufficient?
Justice Cook, I would submit that if everyone in the city of Weatherford had an opportunity to vote on this issue, and under a reading of what Article 3, Section 64A would mandate that the statute must do, then regardless of what the other citizens in the county had done, the city of Weatherford would not be impacted by the results of that election, and that election could not go forward because it, under 64A, it must be passed by a majority of the voters in each political subdivision.
And there's no way to interpolate so as to determine what the city of Weatherford did?
No, sir, I don't believe so. Not as the results as they are before this court. I would note the Court of Appeals seemed to work quite hard at not holding this statute to be unconstitutional, and I'm well aware of the rules of statutory construction and constitutional construction which favor the constitutionality of the statute if there is any way in which it can be harmonized with controlling constitutional provision. Unfortunately, I see no way in which this particular statute can be harmonized with both mandates of Section 64A. At the outset, it clearly is not a special statute, and I believe had there been a special statute in this case, had this been done properly in accord with the constitutional provision, the precise issues of the confusion of political boundaries and the confusion of the results of the vote could have been avoided. Quite frankly, I don't think there ever would have been an election in Parker County because we were already a consolidated county voluntarily. I don't think there would have been a need for legislation, for a special legislation for our county.
Has this ever arisen in any other case that you know about?
I believe that there is a case similar to ours ongoing in Jack County. I do not know what procedural posture it's in. I don't know if it was appealed from the trial court level, but I believe that they conducted an election similar to ours and move the assessment collection functions over to the assessor collector's office. But I do not know that case has been appealed or if it is pending at this time. Interestingly, the Court of Appeals is, I believe it's a fair reading of their opinion to say that this statute is constitutional but was simply unconstitutionally applied in this particular case. I fail to see how that particular holding can be reconciled with the statute. What they did, what the Court of Appeals did, was to accept the Weatherford Independent School District and only that school district from the operation and the results of this election. If you read subsection F of Section 66, it provides that if a majority of the qualified voters voting on the question in the election favor the proposition, the entity or office named by the ballot shall perform the functions named by the ballot. That simply says a majority. I think a fair reading of that would mean that it is the majority of the voters in an appraisal district-wide election, appraisal district-wide. I do not see that the Court of Appeals, in light of that particular subsection of Section 626, can remove the Weatherford Independent School District from the effects of this election. The majority of the voters in this undisputed appraisal district-wide approved this measure. The Weatherford Independent School District is either in or we're all out. And I don't think that's an unfair black and white demarcation of this particular statute. I just don't believe that it can be harmonized and construed any other way. I would point out to the court, and this was raised to the Court of Appeals, that there is an inherent internal inconsistency in Section 626. It provides for both appraisal district-wide elections and, I assume simultaneously, individual taxing units. Election. There is no direction in the statute as to, in the event of conflicting results, as to which election result would control. There is no direction as to whether or not they could be held concurrently with each other. It creates a situation where, hypothetically, if the city of Weatherford chose now, if we had a petition submitted to call an election as a taxing unit on this question, I believe we could do so. I believe we could come up with an absolutely contrary result. and there's no direction in 626 as to whether the appraisal district-wide election or our taxing unit election would control.
Is there any express provision in the Constitution that makes 64A the exclusive means of consolidating government elections?
Justice Heck, I would not represent to you that there is absolutely no other constitutional provision which might control this. And in fact, I think the Attorney General argued below that Article 8, Section 18A, which sets up and mandates single appraisal districts, has sanctioned and blessed Section 626. At least as I perceive it, that was the thrust of their argument. I fail to see how that particular constitutional provision really applies here. I think if you read that provision carefully, it deals solely with the issue of single appraisal districts and mandating single boards of equalization for ad valorem taxation valuation purposes.
It's Article 8 what?
Article 8, Section 18. Again, this court has considered both that and the legislation that flowed from it in the case of Wilson versus Galveston County Appraisal District. In nowhere in that case did this court ever address the assessment and collection function. The court spoke to the need and the mandate, the clear mandate for single appraisal districts only. For those reasons, and also under a fair reading of that constitutional provision, I simply do not see how it can apply. I would also point out to the court the case of Ferrara versus the Board of Trustees of the Texas Employees Retirement System. And that case stands for the proposition that in the event two or more constitutional provisions could arguably control a statute or a situation, the more specific constitutional provision should control. And I believe Article 3, Section 64A, dealing precisely with the issue of consolidation of governmental functions, should control in this case. There's authority cited both in the briefs below and I believe in the briefs to this court that indicates that assessment and collection of taxes is clearly a governmental function and thus falls within the purview of Article 3, Section 64A.
That section says the legislature may, by special statute, provide for consolidation, and your view of that is, and they may not otherwise.
Yes, sir. I do not believe that the language in Article 8, Section 18A, regarding the use of general law to implement that particular section, do not believe it applies here. And I would again direct the court to the legislative history and the discussion of the legislative history of 64A in the amicus brief of the Weatherford Independent School District to indicate that it was quite clear that the legislature intended this particular type of situation, a consolidation situation, to be controlled by a special statute. I think the facts before this court illustrate most clearly the reason why they chose to do that. Each situation within each county is unique. There is no way of mandating by general law a method by which you can deal with each and every political subdivision within each and every of the 254 counties. Additionally, I believe that they speak in terms of permissive language, may by special statute do that, because there is a provision whereby each taxing unit through the Interlocal Cooperation Act may agree with each other, may contract with the Central Appraisal District or Taxing Authority, and perform this function absolutely without statutory intervention, as was precisely the case in the situation before this court. Again, I believe the Court of Appeals, in failing to address the issues that were properly raised before it both by the City of Weatherford and the school district, has left the City of Weatherford remedy-less. We are clearly bound by the terms of its judgment, by the results of this election. We are not allowed to raise the issue. The question that we had raised before regarding the constitutionality of the statute was not addressed. We are wholly deprived of remedy. The trial court found on several bases that this particular statute was unconstitutional, among them being for violation of both mandates of Article 3, Section 64A. Petitioner's position that portion of the judgment of the trial court should be affirmed in light of the clear mandate of Article 3, Section 64A, without necessarily discussing either of the other points of error 3 and 4 raised below, and that we would request, in so doing, that the court reverse the Court of Appeals and affirm the trial court's judgment holding 626 to be unconstitutional for violation of Article 3, Section 64A.
Any questions? Thank you, counsel. The court is ready for your argument and respond.
May it please the court, Mr. Patrick Fleming will present my argument for the finding.
May it please the court. My name is Patrick Fleming. I'm the county attorney of Parker County. The Honorable Harris Wooster is our county judge. Our commissioners are the Honorable Wayman Wright, Mac Dobbs, Harold Anderson, and Mark Riley. We agree 100% with my sister at the bar in the city of Weatherford. That is that Section 626 of the Texas Tax Code is unconstitutional. It violates Article 3, Section 64A, in three respects. First of all, 64A provides that there must be a special statute. 626 is a general statute. Secondly, 626 allows those who are circulating the petition to determine whether or not an election should take place, whereas 64A requires that decision should be made by the legislature, also with respect to what offices or what governmental functions should be consolidated. That should be done in the legislature, not by those circulating the petition. And finally,
the legislature cannot delegate that to the people.
Yes, Your Honor, I think that it is. If the Walker case, the Supreme Court in 1946 held that it is a rule for constitutional constructions constantly applied that where a power is expressly given and the mean by which or manner in which it is to be exercised is prescribed, such shall be the means and manner is exclusive to all others. So if you review the Walker case, you'll see that the legislature cannot delegate that power because it's given. It's a power and it's a duty also of the legislature. We submit that debate should take place in the legislature, not by those circulating the petition.
You agree then, in essence, with the petitioner that the Court of Appeals was wrong in their opinion and their judgment?
Yes, Your Honor.
So what is the difference between the two in terms of relief? What are you asking us to do something other than what the petitioner is asking us to do?
Well, we are asking...
You certainly are not asking us to affirm the judgment of the Court of Appeals if you admit that they committed error.
Mm-hmm. That is correct, Your Honor. We're asking that 626 be declared unconstitutional because we feel that it is unconstitutional and that it doesn't protect the rights of the voters and the people of Parker County and their political subdivisions. That's the third error, the political subdivisions. 626 doesn't address that fairly. Now, with respect to the first problem, a special statute, the Court of Appeals in Austin and the Public Utilities Commission of Texas versus Southwest Water Services had a pretty good discussion with respect to what is a special statute and what is a general statute. And there the court, it appears, said that a special statute is generally one that applies to a particular geographical point or area relating to a particular group or persons. Okay? And if you look at the findings of facts and conclusions of law, 18 and 19, House Joint Resolution number 22 in its original form did not include the word special, modifying the word statute. But when the legislature finally went ahead with the amendment, they included the word special. We think that is the intent of the people of Texas when they passed this constitutional amendment, 64A, that it must be a special statute. The proper way to do it is for the legislature to go ahead and make that decision. Should there be an election? And if so, which offices or governmental functions should be consolidated? That debate should take place in the legislature, not in the alleyways or the parking lots where those circulating a petition for an election as 626 requires. That is the legislature's responsibility. And we have here a general statute. 626 is general statute. And so we feel that is a clear violation of the Constitution.
Will there be someone to defend the legislature here today?
Well, the Attorney General, his staff is not here, Your Honor.
And they've been notified?
Yes, Your Honor.
They'd asked him to argue today.
They didn't even file a response to the application for writ of error. I have had conversations with Mr. Kimbrough on the telephone earlier on this week. I anticipated that they would be here. With respect to the legislature's responsibility and duties, if you look at 64A, it says the legislature may provide for consolidation. It doesn't say that a group of individuals in a county can get up a petition and provide for consolidation. And the question was asked, why was the city of Weatherford left out? Well, the answer to that is quite simple, is that 626 insufficiently protects the city of Weatherford and their people as 64A requires. If you look at 626B, it says the qualified voters of a taxing unit by petition may require an election in their own subdivision. May. The petitioners may. Now, if you look at 664A, it says any such statute shall require an election to be held within the political subdivisions affected thereby. Shall. That's what the Constitution says. It says any such election shall require that it take place within the political subdivisions and give those people in those taxing units an opportunity to determine the destiny of their government. 626 cuts right at the foundations of a democratic form of government by allowing others outside that political subdivision to determine their destiny. I submit to you, gentlemen, that that's wrong, and that that was certainly not the intent of Article 3, 64A. In Kramer versus Shepard, the Supreme Court simply said, if the meaning of the language of a constitutional provision is plain, the courts must give full effect thereto without regards to consequences. 64A, the term special statute, is plain, and it's clearly not in 626 as the Constitution requires. The word shall in 64A is plain, and the word may in 626 violates that mandate. It is obligatory upon the legislature that when they call for such an election, that it be held within the individual subdivisions. What is the proper way to conduct such an election? I submit to you, the proper way is that the legislature should go ahead and have that debate and discussion with respect to whether or not to have an election, and if so, which offices or governmental functions should be consolidated, and submit that to the voters. The legislature should do that, as 64A provides, not those circulating a petition. And once a special statute is passed and approved by the legislature, then an election should be held in its political subdivisions so the voters in each political subdivision may have a voice, the ultimate voice, in whether or not a function should be transferred from their governmental unit to another.
Mr. Deming, I understand you to join with the petitioner in saying that you think this unconstitutional statute, but is there any issue that the petitioner has brought before the court that you take issue with here in your response?
No, Your Honor. I don't disagree with them at all. I think their analysis is appropriate. I think it's proper. Quite candidly, we don't disagree with them. And frankly, we ask you gentlemen to consider declaring 626 unconstitutional, just outright. To try to carve it up and make it constitutional and make it fit would leave us with a statute with a whole bunch of holes in it. It would leave us with a statute that would be hard and awkward to read. It would be a source of litigation for years to come. It wouldn't be fair to the people of Texas and the different county governments when they look at 626.
I take it you were lying on opposite sides of this case when it was filed?
Yes, Your Honor.
You and the city, but and you've never disagreed. Has any private party to this, has any party to this lawsuit ever disagreed that 626 is unconstitutional?
Yes, Your Honor. The Attorney General's office has. They're not here today.
Did they object in the Court of Appeals?
Yes, Your Honor, they did. It is my understanding that they did.
Did they appear in the trial?
It is my understanding that they did.
The state is a named party to this case.
Yes, Your Honor, that's my understanding. That's part of the rules. I think you have to do so.
But nobody other than the state, Parker County, the city, the school district, nobody else in this case disagrees that 626 is unconstitutional.
Well, at one point, the former county attorney, I think he disagreed. If you could see his briefs that were submitted to the Court of Appeals. However, there is some discussion as to what interest he was representing. Is he representing that of the people of Parker County or that of the radical group circulating the petition?
Do you and the petitioner have a common or a common plea to this court about what should be done about the pandemic? Or do
well,
you differ there?
No, Your Honor, we don't differ there. It is clearly unconstitutional because 64A requires that there shall be an election in each political subdivision, and they were not afforded that opportunity because 626 is unconstitutional because it says it may, by another petition being floated around, be considered.
Did the radical group that sent the petition ever attempt to intervene in
litigation? I guess it depends upon how you define intervene, Your Honor. Not through the legal system. They haven't.
Are both sides asking us to void the election?
Well, definitely, Your Honor. That's definitely clear. To void the election and moreover, to take one...
Get no answer, no.
Well, I ask that so there'd be no misunderstanding that because your position is unorthodox for both petitioner and respondent to come here and ask the same relief. So I asked a question to clarify that we're communicating. At least I'm communicating.
Yes, yes, Your Honor. That is correct, and that's a valid. You know, here you have one attorney wanting this, and the other attorney wanting that, and Parker County and the Commissioner's Court. We're just interested in the truth and protecting our people, and definitely we would ask that you void out this election and go one step further, if you will, and declare 626 unconstitutional. At least as how it applies with respect to counties of a population of 1.2 million or less.
Mr. Fleming, I'm interested. Since you said your predecessor was of another view, has there been an election during this process where you succeeded your predecessor?
If I could give you the details on that, Your Honor, my predecessor ran for district attorney and lost, and there was nobody on the ballot for county attorney, and so I ran as a write-in, and I did have an opponent, and so the last general election, I came out the victor. So
the people have spoken and said they've changed their mind. Since your predecessor had a contrary view, and now you have run and been elected expressing the views that you've expressed here to the court.
Well, Your Honor, in my election, I think some of the issues were that, number
well, I'm
one...
I'm not saying that's the only issue in your election, but this does represent a change of position of the people of Parker County.
I think that would be fair to say, although quite candidly, this issue at bar would be at best a very small issue in my election. There were two other issues. I would be a full-time county attorney, and I was the experienced prosecutor. And I think those were the ultimate issues.
When this case was filed, Parker County's legal position was not the same as it is today.
That's correct. However, the position of the Commissioner's Court has been consistent all along.
But the legal position taken in the name of Parker County in this lawsuit when it started out was that the statute is constitutional.
Well, that was the position of the former county attorney.
Well, but, I mean, I understand that, but that was the position taken in the name of Parker County as a party.
Yes, Your Honor.
So there was a conflict among the parties when this suit started.
Yes, Your Honor.
What is the practical status of things in Parker County the same as it was before the election?
Well, the Central Tax Authority is still collecting taxes and doing the appraisal. That's our current status.
Nothing has changed as a result of the election. The results of that were stayed.
That's correct, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. And
let me ask you, you said Fixed-26 unconstitutional at least in counties of 1.2 million or less.
That's in reference to Article 3 of the Constitution, Section 63. You can see that that is a general statute. Okay? So if it comes to leaving 626 in effect and narrowly defining its application within the purview of the Constitution, 626 should not apply to counties where the population is 1.2 million or less. We would ask you to just go ahead and throw the whole statute out, but if you're going to go ahead and define it, you might want to look at Section
66. How many counties would still be covered?
Well, Your Honor, all the counties would be covered because the legislature, by way of special statute and legislative debate, could put this issue to the counties.
If we were to clear the whole thing out of constitution, follow your suggestion, say this doesn't apply to counties of more than a million too.
Of less than.
You want to say that it does not apply to counties of a million two or less?
Yes, Your Honor.
Therefore, those above a million two would still be covered. That
could be their problem. If you read Section 63 of Article 3 of the Constitution, there may be an arguable ground there for those other larger counties. And we would ask that you throw the whole thing outright.
Well, that would be only two counties as a practical matter, wouldn't it? Harris County and Dallas County?
I believe so, Your Honor.
So we'd have one set of rules applying to two counties, a different set of rules applying to the other 250.
Well, you do have two constitutional provisions, and that's why it would probably be best, Your Honor, to throw out 626 in its entirety and give the legislature an opportunity to pass laws that are consistent with the Constitution and your ruling with respect to the constitutional provisions of 64A.
In your opinion, what would be the effect of that if that would happen? All the counties that had gone to a central appraisal district would have automatically void their districts,
no,
or would they be stuck with them forever?
No, Your Honor. The appraisal districts, they are separately covered in Article 8, Section 18 of the Texas Constitution. With respect to the appraisal districts, voiding out 626 would have no effect whatsoever. The appraisal issue is completely different than the assessing and collecting issue.
But have other counties or other locales in the state held elections under 6.26?
I'm unaware of any, Your Honor. There very well may have been. My sister at the bar mentioned the problem developing in Jack County. It's possible that you could get a flood of litigation with 6.26 the way it's written.
Well, and it's possible that by declaring it unconstitutional, it may affect bunch of situations in the state that we don't know about, which I take to be the burden of Justice Carter's question.
Yes, and back to the Kramer versus Shepard, if the meaning of the language of the constitutional provision is plain, the court must give full effect thereto without regard to consequences. Supreme Court of Texas in 1942.
Ordinarily, though, before we do what we must, irrespective of the consequences, we have the other side to tell us what those consequences are.
Yes, Your Honor, I fully understand that situation. And, gentlemen, on behalf of Parker County and Parker County Commissioners Court, I want to thank you for your attention and your fair consideration. And we just simply ask you all to do the right thing, and thank you.
Thank you. Is there a desire for rebuttal? All right, you may proceed.
In fairness to counsel for the respondents, and if I might just briefly clarify, this has not been a friendly lawsuit from its inception. The issues were vigorously contested in the trial court on undisputed facts, and were the county attorney representing Parker County at that time presented 4 points of error attacking the trial court's judgment in the Court of Appeals, and vigorously asserted those contentions in the Court of Appeals. I believe it's fair to say that the change in position in this lawsuit has taken place since an election has occurred, and that the Commissioner's Court has expressed a desire to take this position in this particular lawsuit on behalf of Parker County. Unfortunately, the Attorney General is not here to provide this court with information as to the ramifications of a holding of unconstitutionality. I would like to address the question asked about whether or not, if this statute is held to be unconstitutional, whether counties would be stuck with appraisal districts forever as their assessor collectors, and I would submit to the court that they are not. That under Article 3, Section 64A, they may approach the legislature to enact a special statute carved and drafted precisely for that county to avoid this type of problem, so that consolidation may occur, or that these particular functions may be transferred if that is in fact what the people wish to have done.
What's the answer to the other side? Are there elections or the results of elections that are going to be affected by a declaration that 626 is unconstitutional?
I would not represent to the court that a holding such as that would not impact certain pending litigation or litigation that may be in the appellate stages now. I do not know if the court would have the authority or could limit it so as not to apply retroactively to elections that were held prior to that time.
What is the status of the Jack County case that you...
Just a sec, I do not know that that has been appealed, and I do not know that it is presently in an appellate posture. I simply know that an election was conducted similar to ours, and apparently the function was transferred to an assessor collector's office who is having an extremely difficult time performing that function at this point in time. I would simply, in closing, like to draw the court's attention again to the authority that's presented in the application for writ of error, that the trial court drew two correct legal conclusions, at least in this case, those being that this statute violates Article 3, Section 64A, and it's petitioner's position that the judgment should be upheld on that basis, regardless of whether this court determines that there were other incorrect legal conclusions drawn.
Are there any questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Foregoing causes are presented on briefs and oral arguments. That concludes the business of the court for the day, and the marshal will please adjourn the court.
Oyez, oyez, oyez. The Honorable Supreme Court of Texas, now standing adjourned. Subject to call.